This is a disaster. And welcome to the Tower Podcast. It's Namar. It's Chris. Where we contemplate existence.
Existence, dude. So let me set the scene for you at least. I'm driving down to DC for the Leafs game tomorrow night, and I'm on 70 South. I look at my phone, it's blowing up, and I see Raptors down by 25. I'm like, oh, that's a funny joke. So I open up the score on ESPN, and I'm like, they are down 25. What the fuck happened? I stopped to get gas. I look at my phone. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So I get to the hotel. I rewatch the first quarter and appalled. And I, you know, struggle through the rest of the game, but holy hell was that bad.
It's the type of bad where Dwayne Casey might like not even show anybody what happened and just gonna be like, yeah, we're gonna just change. He's probably gonna be like, okay, we're gonna change this thing and that's it. Because it was bad in a way where it's kind of hard to fix what went bad.
It's kind of bad in a way where Dwayne Casey's job might be on the line.
That is totally possible, by the way.
Like a first round exit with this team that's quote unquote all in, and then you add in all the Lowry. I'll call it drama for now because we're going all the way back to that when they blew that game against the Pistons and he had that very ominous "I know what needs to change" quote. Nothing has really been fixed since then between them. Like, Lowry injured his wrist. He's been out. The Raptors played well. The supporting cast is there. Now everybody's kind of, like, had to adjust to Lowry. And these are the results.
Right.
Like, a gigantic question mark of what? Unfulfilled potential?
Yeah, man. I don't know. This kind of feels like that Dwight Howard JV little, maybe not to the same extent, but I'm getting that feeling where it's just acidic between the two. More and more acidic, and they're acting like they're okay, but it's kind of like that relationship between those two people in your friend group where like they act like it's okay, but then when they talk to you one-on-one, they're just like, man, I can't stand this person.
Right, but doesn't it feel like there's something off of the Raptors, or is it just me? Because I feel like something's really off with this team right now, and it's not talent, it's chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry. It's a chemistry issue, but it doesn't seem like a player chemistry issue, and that's probably why we're getting to the coaching thing right now. Whereas like PJ Tucker's a new addition, but it seems like he's the dude going like, what's going on here? Aren't we supposed to be doing some great stuff? You know what I mean? And like Serge Ibaka hasn't really said anything.
That's a good point.
He hasn't said anything major.
That's a good point.
Right, so I think this might be in between the players and the coaches, or that's the only thing I can think of, because Terrence Ross wasn't necessarily like the heart and soul of this team, you know. They weren't saying he was right. So there has to be like a mismanagement thing, or maybe like the players are losing faith in the coach. I don't really see them like, you know, somebody just like completely freestyle. Like, you know, if they lost faith in the coach when like PJ Tucker is running pick and roll and jacking up threes, that's what.
Yeah. Well, here, let me ask you this then: the Raptors' issues on offense, are they not systemic?
Systemic in the sense that it's the way it's designed. It's designed to maximize capabilities of Lowry and DeRozan, but that gets stopped in the playoffs. Remember the Paul George thing that we talked about, like a couple podcasts ago, where like DeMar DeRozan, like Paul George on DeMar DeRozan, and like DeMar DeRozan couldn't do anything. And the same thing when
it's Chris Middleton now,
right? So now he has Chris Middleton, not as good as a defender, but still pretty good. Still very good, actually. And then Kyle Lowry has Brogdon all over him, and this is just like when George Hill was on Lowry. And now that this, like, the length just stops the pump fake shenanigans. DeMar DeRozan doesn't have that advantage of the post up or being able to shoot over his man. And Lowry's just afraid of getting his shot blocked. Like, he just never attempts shots at the rim anymore.
Well, let me ask you this, too, because when I watched the Rockets Thunder game last night, after the game, James Harden had some interesting things to say about Russell Westbrook. He said, you know, we know he's going to shoot, and he's the only guy they have, and he's basically just wants to do it all himself anyway, so we let him shoot. And right. We saw the results where Westbrook was 4 of 18 in the fourth quarter. I kind of thought, watching that, I'm like, hey, you know what? Maybe the Raptors are easier to defend in the postseason because teams know it's just Lowry and DeRozan.
Yeah, man.
And it's in all isolation situations.
Yeah, man. If you just load up on them, it forces them to trust their teammates, and then it's up to their teammates to make the plays. But I'm not really confident in Corey Joseph. And it's gotten to a weird point where, like, people are passing up wide open shots. Like, I remember specifically, I think this was in the second quarter, where Corey Joseph was just wide open, and he passes to Patrick Patterson in the corner, and he was, like, semi-covered by a dude. Like, it's gotten to a point where they're just passing up shots now, because if it's not Lowry or DeRozan, then it has to be somebody else, and nobody else wants to be that someone else. Other than Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka is willing to be that dude.
I don't get it. And what kills me, too, is that, again, in this game, we saw Giannis on the bench, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I'm pretty certain the Bucks went on a 14-4 run. I'd have to go back and double-check that, but the point is they went on another run with Giannis on the bench. Those are supposed to be minutes where the Raptors, and what you like to call the Jurassic Five, really puts their stamp on the game, and they either A, keep it tight, or B, help the Raptors surge ahead. And that hasn't happened at all.
Yeah, man, it's Corey Joseph just hasn't been effective. This game specifically, he was just like a zero. He's probably like minus 22 plus minus. I mean, everybody was a minus except for like people that were playing in the fourth quarter. He's just Corey Joseph is just not able to get off that mid ranger, and then Patrick Patterson, like the length is a huge issue, man. And we talked about this in game number three, where this whole containing that. The floor space, not necessarily just the vertical space, but just the horizontal space on the court. It's such a big issue for getting around when you have like a small point guard, or when they're playing those two small point guards. And you know, the Bucks are always big. You know, they can be playing small, but everybody is still like 6'6" with like 6'8" wingspan. So it's always a big or long team, and they just can't deal with it. That's when they just can't deal with it.
Here's what kills me though. It's like the Seahawks in football, where they're going to line up, they're going to play you really tight, but they're only going to play two schemes, cover one or cover three.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks are going to play the same scheme on you. They're going to double team you, and they're going to blitz you hard, wherever they can, in terms of like hard hedge or like just they're going to put a lot of pressure on you. The Raptors know this. So I don't understand. Like, it's not a shock anymore. It's no surprise. I get that the length is real, but if you can't determine a way to kind of mitigate that effect and have something drawn up to either A, move the ball around, or, you know, just something that isn't going to look like you're shocked. Like, the Raptors look shell-shocked again tonight.
Yeah, and it's... When was the last time you saw somebody cut for, like, a layup
on this Before team? Christ?
Like, in the... Maybe Vince Carter? Like, seriously, but, like, playoffs, regular season, when was, like, the last time you saw somebody, like, cut in for a layup?
Ah, man. Down the stretch in the regular season, there was a few instances where, like, you would see it be more, I guess, more visible in games, but it's never too often.
Right, so now it's in the playoffs, like... When they get those blitzes off on the ball handler, nobody's making the cut for a back door or to catch the ball on the run. Like, you'll see them, they'll blitz Lowry. This especially happens to DeRozan because he picks up his dribble. Like, he gets frightened and he picks up his dribble, and everybody will stand in designated spots on the court and they don't move. Right, so then it just becomes super easy to cover. So even though they're running that same defense all the time, it's not like the Raptors are exploiting it in any way. They're just like, what do I do? And then they just pass it out, and then they pass it to, like, they'll short, like, the screen and roll. And, you know, the wing gets it, and then the wing doesn't pass it to the big man who's running through the middle, who's, like, sidestepping through the middle. And then the defense just recovers, and then you're back to, like, zero, and you just lost time on the shot clock.
But these are things that, like, you should have had resolved midway through the season. Like, you know, when he was playing around with the rotation and we were saying, who's the 9th, 10th guy in terms of Powell or DeLon Wright?
Right.
Like, those are issues you should be resolving before the postseason, not, okay, if we see this scenario, what should we do? And right now, it looks like the Raptors are back to ground zero.
Yeah.
These issues we're talking about, they're literally watching film, breaking it down, going like, okay, how can we attack this? You shouldn't have to watch film for this stuff. You just know right away. Like,
if this
comes at you, do this.
That's like a training camp beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Like, thing they're supposed to talk about. And, yeah, that's a coaching issue. And the more, like, from last year to this year, and especially in this series, I'm starting to think is, remember the Warriors when they had Mark Jackson? Yep. Like, oh, Mark Jackson's such a great coach, you know, like, he riles up the team, He's a great cheerleader, preacher, because he was literally a preacher. And the team loves him. And then, you know, they fired him. Or they didn't even fire him. I think his contract just didn't get renewed. And there's a lot of animosity between him and the Warriors. And then Steve Kerr came in, and they're just like, oh, man, but we lost Steven Jackson. Or, sorry, not Steven Jackson, Mark Jackson. And then, you know, Steve Kerr is like, okay, everything you were doing before, just scrap that. We're going to rebuild this entire thing from scratch, right? And I think that Mark Jackson was a good coach, and then Steve Kerr was a great coach, right? I feel like Dwayne Casey is, like, our Mark Jackson right now, where, like, he's a good coach, you know? He's good. He's good at developing younger players, and he's, you know, he can get that team to, like, 50 wins. I'm pretty sure the Warriors even won, like, in the high 40s, maybe even 50. No, they probably didn't win 50. In the high 40s. With Mark Jackson, but to get to that next step, they need a different coach to actually like innovate the offense and like make it coalesce more, because it's so 90s now that it's gotten to a point where I'm like, I know exactly what's gonna happen, and they haven't been able to evolve the offense in any way, even though it's the same core pieces.
That's a good analogy, and it's maddening to watch this stuff on a night to night basis, but. The issue with that is, like, if you let Casey go, which, if they lose this series, I think he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you bring in next?
Jerry Stackhouse.
I was literally going to get to that point of that. Jerry Stackhouse is my guy I bring in next.
Yes.
Everybody Stackhouse works with, man, results are there every time. He demands effort from his players. Like, if you're going to drag your ass, or you're going to sulk like Kyle Lowry's doing right now, and I know it's a bit harsh to say sulking, but his press conference, the dirty looks between him and Casey during the game, like, something is off there between those two. I don't know what it is exactly.
You think it's like animosity?
I feel like there's animosity.
Wow.
Man, Lowry's been known in the past and throughout his career that if things don't necessarily go his way, he's very vocal about what needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do it publicly, but there's been a lot of talk about maybe Lowry doesn't like what's going on, especially with Casey's system.
Right, okay.
I think there is. It doesn't make any sense to me why, like, yes, Lowry's the kind of guy that'll push you and kind of annoy you at times to, like, want to make change, and he's very headstrong, I guess you could say, but this is beyond headstrong at this point.
Yeah, well,
I have no other explanation. Like, this is an all-star. This is a guy who has arguably hit his peak later on in his career, and you would think that based on the way his career trajectory has gone, still has 2 to 3 years left in his prime, just because he's a late bloomer. And what? He all of a sudden just doesn't play well in the postseason and looks like an average guy because of the postseason drama? Like the postseason, what? Hype? Like, I don't understand. I'm at a struggle, a loss for words to describe this because it doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, we're going to see, man. Because in game 4, that is where, like, Casey's mettle is really going to get tested, okay? Because that's a... He's literally at the point where it's must win, or this might cost you your job in the league, and you will be down 3-1. And from what you've seen, this could cost him like the locker room at this point, especially if they lose the series, right?
Dude, look at last season too, when the Raptors lost in the postseason on the road, they were getting crunched.
Like, yeah,
they were getting blown out. Those were unacceptable.
They were getting destroyed on the road.
The Raptors are 6-26 on the road in the postseason.
Wait, is that during his tenure or does in total?
In general.
Okay. But during his tenure, it's still not good anyways.
Yeah, a lot of those losses have came during his tenure.
Right, so... yeah, man. Stack is waiting for his opportunity in the D-League. The 905, we're going into the finals. Bruno might get a ring before anybody else on the Raptors. Just soak that in. Let that sink in, baby. Let it in. Oh my goodness. And Dwayne Casey. I don't think Stackhouse is, like, you know, licking his chops, you know, like, and saying this is my opportunity. But I think he's like, you know, man, if you mess up, like, he's like standing in his shadow, basically. You know, just looking for
How could he not be licking his chops a bit? Like, obviously, him and Casey are tight. He said numerous times Casey's shown him a lot of things. But at the same time, if you're Jerry Stackhouse, this is a great opportunity. You're going to take over a team that is arguably one of the 3 best teams in the East. And I have to use arguably now because Washington, Cleveland, is Boston the same as us now or better?
Chicago's the best team in the East, man. What are you talking about?
You stop that. You stop that. That's enough.
I mean, okay, who seriously looks like the best team, like the best team right now? The best team and the second best team in the East. Like, who do you see in the Eastern Conference Finals?
The best team is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the second best team is LeBron James.
No, oh, okay, by himself.
Yep.
Five LeBrons versus the Cavs. What do you think?
Oh, five LeBrons versus, I'll take just about anybody. Okay. Here's a question for you. If you put LeBron James on any team in the NBA, can they beat the Warriors? And you don't need to, like, take off a player. Like, you could put LeBron on the Spurs with Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
Or LeBron on the Rockets. Can that team beat the Warriors?
Ooh, LeBron on the Rockets. That sounds so good.
Just some food for thought.
Ooh, LeBron on the Spurs would be something else, man. Can you imagine
they beat the Warriors?
LeBron with like a, but can you imagine LeBron with like a legit, like, awesome coach? Because he has it. I mean, Spo was a very good coach, but imagine him with Pop. I mean, LeBron would just. I don't think LeBron would ever shoot again, and he would average like 25 assists a game.
Like, I could see that.
Like 13, he would like 10 points, 13 rebounds, because he would probably be playing center at some point, right? And then just like 25 assists per game. You just find, you know, you just find all the cutters. I mean, you just give LeBron the ball and like everybody just cut, right? Find him at the high post, everybody cut around him. Low post, everybody cut around him. You know, drive to the basket. All you have to do is just wait at the 3-point line and hit the three. I mean, it's what he does in Cleveland now, but like, imagine it when like the defense. Imagine it when like the offense is like designed to do stuff and like they have plays that maximize his potential instead of him like, I got the ball. Okay, I'm gonna back
doing
in,
everything.
Back in, back in, back in, back in. Okay, nobody came to help. I'm gonna dunk in. Back in, back in, back in. No, oh, somebody came to help. You gotta pass and then pass around the horn. Like, there's nothing really like there are plays designed, but like nothing to the level of Coach Popovich, of course. So him on the Spurs would be nice versus the Warriors. Well, I think he could be the Warriors.
Any team though, could that team beat the Warriors?
I think so. Yeah. Probably.
You think so? I think I would take one of those teams too. I think I would take the field.
You'd probably play him at like power forward on the Spurs. And then quiet small forward.
Ooh.
And then you would play LaMarcus at the five.
That'd be sweet.
Food for
thought. I know it's like completely off track from Jerry Stackhouse, yeah, but it's just a thought that crossed my mind.
Yeah, so you know, Stackhouse. Man, you know, luck is when opportunity meets preparation, man. He's been, you know, if Dwayne Casey flames out, he's been, you know, coaching the 905 to a championship in the D League. Or the G League, sorry, in the G League.
But he's been doing a lot more than just that. To give people an idea of how hard Stackhouse works, he has an AAU program in Toronto that's been very successful for years. He's built that thing from literally the ground up. He goes to USA basketball camps and coaching clinics all the time. He knows a ton of players around the NBA that come to him to work on their offensive game because people might forget this. Jerry Stackhouse led the NBA in scoring one year.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, he still goes to North Carolina and helps out there. Like, this guy is just everywhere helping player development. And he's very well respected amongst the NBA. X's and O's wise, he's great. And if you want to go off the track and, you know, something that's fun for the fans, his trash talk game, elite. Second to none. Like, yeah. Look at last year in the summer league when they hit the three to win. And he goes, they go, Stackhouse, what'd you call? You call timeout there? He goes, nah, I call game. Like, what's not to love about that?
Quoting Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's excellent, man. And he'd probably even give the Raptors that edge, you know. You know, well, this year it's PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka giving them the edge. But he would also be that guy that, you know, is not somebody to be messed with. And if you're going to mess with him, he's probably going to trash talk you into oblivion.
Feel like Casey holds everybody accountable too, though? He's kind of a disciplinary.
Yeah, but you know, in the year 2017, do players appreciate a disciplinarian?
Probably not.
Right. So, like, Coach Pop has never. He's been a disciplinarian, but then he softened up over the years. Ty Lue, you know, he's kind of like a rah-rah coach, right? And then you think about Spo. Spo's his own beast. Can't even put Spo in the box.
Well, did you hear this on Twitter? I don't know if you saw this at all, and I've actually had some people text me tonight about this. They're prepared for the step back tomorrow. The year where we quote-unquote tank.
Ooh.
And just tank for a good draft pick and reload.
Ooh, is that it?
I don't know if you heard rumblings about that. I mean, that's something we talked about at the beginning of the season.
Ooh.
But now it's coming to the forefront.
Ooh. I'm down for this. I am absolutely down for that.
Basically waste DeRozan, though.
You could trade DeRozan. I don't know who.
This is a teardown. This is like a dropping a nuke.
You trade DeRozan. I mean,
bye bye Raptors.
You let Ibaka go. You let PJ go. You know, you'd have to let Lowry go. You trade DeRozan for picks. JV, you're probably looking for a trade for him. You got DeLon.
What's
right?
his role? What's going on with him before you go any further with this? You got Powell. Scorched earth approach.
Powell, you got right.
Hey, you start next year. Look, is looking like Van Fleet, Powell, Damari Carroll,
Kojo. Kojo will be there. Right. Bebe,
three guards, whatever.
Bebe, you got probably re-sign Patterson.
Bruno, PT for Bruno. Like, I know we're done. We're done with that. What's up with JV?
JV in this series, man, I don't think he will. Like, I thought about something. I'm like, yo, man, what if he just never played in this series? And then I was like, that's really stupid. But then I thought about it for a little bit longer. I'm just like, he's getting scorched on defense. Like, in every lineup on defense, he's getting scorched. Thonmaker at the five, he's getting killed. Greg Monroe at the five, he's getting killed. Antetokounmpo at the five, he's getting killed. So I'm just like, why do you ever play him? He's not destroying them in the paint. You know, he had, like, what, 7 rebounds today.
Dude, Greg Monroe owns him right now.
Yeah, the up and under.
Greg Monroe looks like, I didn't want to say Andre Drummond.
He looks like a Hakeem Olajuwon out there, bro. He looks like some iteration of Hakeem Olajuwon / Dwight Howard in their prime at the moment. Like, those up and unders, the mid-range, just backing him down and the hook shot, like literally everything that Greg Monroe has is working. That's the problem.
Take this in. We're saying Greg Monroe's full arsenal is on display, and we're impressed. Before the series started, we said we joked around. If Greg Monroe's playing well, then you know, we probably still don't have to worry.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, that's a serious issue for JV, man. His defense has always been a problem, but for him to be killed. I mean, I even said this to you yesterday or a couple days ago. It's like, who's a good post defender on the Raptors? There's just none, right? Yeah. So Greg Monroe is just, you know, he's just running. He's running over everybody. He's like, he's the sixth man. I think some people even voted him for sixth man of the year, and it's just impossible to stop. I think this goes back to like a theory that Nate Duncan had like a year ago, where he was talking about if you have like a dominant low post offensive player, it's not going to work on the first unit because, you know, everybody likes to play like a smallish type 3-point shooting unit as their starting five. If you had that guy off the bench, nobody has like a good post defender off the bench. Like, that's just not a thing in the NBA, right? So you can just eviscerate teams, and that's what the Bucks have, you know, they found that out, and it's working perfectly. Like, there's no good post defenders on the Raptors, especially not off the bench. It's like, Bebe is not going to, you know, block you in the post. And neither is Poeltl. And it's just, you know, it just works. It works perfectly. He had, what, 16 points today and 7 rebounds, 3 assists? Even had a block and 2 steals.
See, I think there's a misconception with that, though, because people will quickly point out how the Warriors and the Rockets, you know, they play that pace and space, shoot a lot of threes, small ball lineup. Mm-hmm. But those teams still do have guys that can defend. They may be a bit undersized, but like, you look at Draymond Green. You go look at a Clint Capella or a Montrezl Harrell. Mm-hmm. These guys can defend the post. Whereas the Raptors are what?
Yeah, this
like, JV's supposed to be that guy.
Supposed to be. See, that's the problem. Supposed to be. Not is.
Well, Kyle Lowry and DeRozan are supposed to be our superstars carrying us too, but you know, for some reason, when the regular season ends and the postseason begins, they disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think every year in the playoffs, we drift further and further away from JV being an effective player.
Just JV, dude, the whole team. We're the Clippers East.
Oh, man, Clippers East. Hey, man, Clippers East. That core four of JJ Redick, DJ, Blake Griffin, and Chris Paul are like the second best four-man rotation or four-man combination in the league.
It's so good they can never get out of the second round.
The bench sucks. The bench is awful. The Raptors have a different problem where their center is like, JV doesn't suck. His skill set is not the correct skill set for NBA today.
Much like the Clippers, the Raptors' psyche is contaminated. I don't know what it is. There's no other explanation because both teams are riddled with talent. You could say mm-hmm. their bench sucks and, you know, Doc Rivers, the GM, screwed over Doc Rivers, the coach, by signing some guys to egregious contracts. But that team is still talented enough to make it to at least the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
Same thing with the Raptors. And for whatever reason, postseason strikes, and it's just like, you guys want to golf now? Yeah, yeah, screw this. I don't get it.
I think we came like to, like...
A cynic, but...
I think we really came down to the root of it, whereas it's coaching, man. It's come to a coaching issue. And JV. And I hate to tell, I hate to say that, but it's come down to coaching and JV at this point. You just need more agile.
I hate to say that, too, but we said this in the middle, I want to say February was the bad loss to the Pistons. We came on after that game, and we were like, dude, it has to be the coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we say this every year, and then, you know, the Raptors, like, they'll come back on, like, they'll go on a winning streak, and we're like, yeah, you know, everything's going well. And then, you know, in the playoffs, like, things are collapsing, we're like, oh, man, fire Dwayne Casey, so... And then, you know, last year, then they won 2 game sevens, and then they lost in the 6th game. But they still got shellacked in those away games, and yes. He's, like, able to make adjustments, but he's not able to proactively make those adjustments to surprise the other team. It's always a reaction. And it's
dude,
just...
You could argue those 2 series wins last year were kind of a mirage. Like, yeah, they were nice, but they were 7 games. They still lost on the road. They were very inefficient for... give or take close to half of those series.
They could have lost to the Pacers.
Yeah, where one Paul George
being back in the game.
Yeah, thank you Frank Vogel, but we're one Paul George insertion on the court away from being
Dwayne Casey-less.
A lot of questions.
Dwayne Casey-less, DeMar DeRozan, I don't know if he re-signs. He loses in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's where we
what
are
needs
right
to
now.
Happen for the Raptors? Oh, it is. But what needs to happen for you to have your confidence restored in the Raptors?
They need to, like, destroy the Bucks in Game 4 and then destroy the Bucks in Game 5. And then I'd be like, okay, you know, we'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But my idea is, I mean, the thing is, I think they can beat Cleveland this way. I just think the Bucks specifically are designed in the way to just stop Toronto. And, like, what they're supposed to be doing right now. Like, if they play... Because they would play Chicago. Right? Wait, they're the number 2. So, actually, no, they would play Cleveland. So, no, I think they can beat Cleveland like this. It's just, like, the Bucks are just super long, super athletic. And that's perfect against people that, are, like, play in isolation. But the Cavs, like... Kyle Lowry versus Kyrie Irving 1v1. Are you kidding me? There's nobody even to protect the rim. You know, like... DeMar DeRozan is going to torch J.R. Smith. He hasn't played well this year. Iman Shumpert has played terribly this year, right? The bench is like great shooting for the Cavs, but like defensively they're awful. Like they can get torched. So if they can make it past the Bucks, then I'm good. Like then I'm back in. But right now I'm out.
Okay, for me it's not even like if they beat the Bucks, my confidence still is even restored. That's a round 1 victory.
Yeah, I think they can lose. I honestly think they can lose. I honestly think they will. They can lose. And I think it's like a 50-50 chance right now that they lose the series.
I agree. And the thing for me is that we argued at the beginning of the season what is success for the Raptors in this franchise now. And to me, beating the Bucks in the first round is not a victory. That's an expectation. That's something that should happen every year where we get out of the first round. Mm. If we can't even do that and we have to celebrate that still... That speaks more about what the culture and what winning is to this Raptors franchise. That's not an accomplishment to beat the Bucks in round 1. So for me to have my confidence restored, I beat the Cavs in round 2. I know it sounds lofty expectations, but we're at the growth stage with the Raptors now where, hey, you gonna get that Larry O'Brien? You're going to get to at least the conference finals again? Like, these are things that need to happen on a regular basis.
That's true.
Or what's the point of being so invested in this core?
Yeah, well, if you're going to... Yeah, you're right. If you're going to make, like... the Serge Ibaka trade, PJ Tucker trade. What's the point in like trying to make the team good right now if you're not good right now?
Yeah.
They basically become the Knicks, right? Where you're just like...
Whoa. Hold on a second there. Raptors and Knicks analogy? Dude, I'm not ready to tell... I mean, I'm not jumping off the balcony of my hotel tonight.
I'm just saying they're in danger, man. They're in danger. A coaching change, I'm feeling like it's like actually needed now.
I like your Mark Jackson analogy.
And it's not like
it's very fitting.
And it's not like a fire, Casey. It's more like, I think we should move on. You know what I mean? It's more of a calm realization versus like a visceral, I hate this dude. See what I'm getting at?
You know what it is to me? Yeah, no, I do. I think, like, you know those, everybody has friends like this. That couple that fights all the time, but they stay together for years, even though they're not good for each other, is kind of toxic. Mm-hmm. It's like two skeletons dating each other. It's never going to work. The relationship is dead, but, like, they still feel like it works. So, whatever. Two skeletons going to be together. That's kind of the Raptors and Casey right now, I feel like, where it's just like, we know it's not going to work. It's showing us that year in and year out now.
No, but we're hope, but we hope, we but no, but them. Eventually, but eventually, we hope it. You know, we hope the romance gets sparked again. Like
the first. Exactly. We're gonna try everything. We're gonna go on like dates. We're gonna like you know, double date. We're gonna like. Try
we're going skydiving.
It's just.
Eventually, somebody comes to realize we're like, yo, man, this is not working. Okay, I think it's both time for both of us to move on. You know, this was a great run. You know, mutually accept that that it doesn't fully work out, and we're not going in the direction that we either of us want to go. And it's over. It shouldn't be that hard, to be honest. I mean, it is hard. And even in the relationship analogy and in the basketball analogy, it's very hard to do something like that because you're setting your ways. You know what to expect most of the time. It's all right.
You don't want to quit. Like, you just don't want to quit. You're just like, yeah. I swear we can make this work. I swear we can make this work. I know we can. You just don't want to quit on it.
Oh, man. Now that we're putting in the relationship thing, man, and the Mark Jackson thing, oh, my God, we should move. We need to leave.
Okay.
I
agree. That's a good point.
Here's the thing. Do you think Masai Ujiri sees it? Like, does he understand that a coaching change is probably needed? Or is he even willing to make that trade or make that upgrade or change?
That goes back to the whole what is success for the Raptors question. If it is reaching a title, which you like to think it is, then yeah. How can Masai Ujiri, one of what everybody considers to be the savviest general managers in the NBA, not see this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he definitely sees this. I mean, he's privy to conversations within the locker room. I know players don't act the same when the general manager or executives are roaming around the locker room. That's no secret. But I'm sure he's heard from both Casey, Lowry, DeRozan, even other guys there. Like, man, even the janitor who's picking up towels in the locker room has probably overheard some stuff. And a jury probably picked his brain. Like, he knows what's going on. He has a good pulse of this team. So, I don't know. To me, I think that means, hey, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we're saying this after a Game 3 loss, because the series isn't over. Like, we're acting like it's over.
I know, but, you know. Yeah, you know. Foresight, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Like, existential crisis, man. That's what happens when you lose. When you lose badly, too. That's exactly what happens.
We've seen teams in the past, though. If you don't get to where they expect you to get to be in the season, like, in the Raptors' case, I think coming off an Eastern Conference Finals,
lose in the first round, he's getting fired, man. It's just, it's
not. What if they sneak by in 7 games in round 1? I still think he's on the hot seat. That's unacceptable. I hate to be that guy, but okay, here. Let's say they get by the Bucks in 7 games and they get whacked like off swept by the up, Cavs in 5.
Like 5 or something, yeah. Then, yeah, that's off. Yeah. Especially when the Cavs have, like, not looked very good. Like, they look good, but they don't look very good.
The Cavs are trash right now.
Yeah, they're not playing. They're not playing well at all. Like, they're giving 114 points to the Pacers, man.
And the Pacers have no offense. They're, like, 23rd in the league all season.
Yo, I can't
believe don't tell me Lance Stevenson's the savior there either. About, you know, insert Lance back in the offense and they're scoring 100 points.
Lance will make them dance.
Oh, Lance will make them dance, all right.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. I don't know what it is, man. On that note, though, I don't even know what to say to Raptors fans. There's nothing positive to say tonight. Actually, nothing positive to say.
Yeah, this is one of them where you just, like, burn the tape. You watch it one time and be like, okay, I got some things. And you're just like, okay, we're never watching this again. That's pretty much it.
I'm not even making a copy.
Yeah, no, it was probably, yeah, you just, like, the video guy gives you, like, here's the full game. You rewatch the full game, and it's like, okay. Like, you're taking your notes during it, it's like, okay, throw that in the fire. Or throw it off the plane. Actually, don't throw it off the plane, because it might kill somebody on its way down, but throw it in the fire.
I might suspend the video guy for giving me the tape in the first place. What the hell are you doing?
Why would I ever want to see this?
Yeah, why would I want to see this, dude? On that note, I'd like to thank everybody listening to this episode of the Toronto Raptors Tip of the Tower podcast. This post-mortem was not pleasant. So, sorry, not sorry, but this is what happened. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Crystal Kranitz. You can follow DeMar Grant on Twitter at DeMar J. Grant. I'm going to say, guys, Jerry Stackhouse soon, coming to the ACC near you. That doesn't even make sense.
I'm so excited.
Buenos noches, guys.
See you guys.